When people ask me, I just say south of Boise. And we don't have to worry about all the bad looks or the opinions up front, you know. Don't judge a book by its cover. But no, it's an honor to be able to worship with you guys week after week. When we moved in the area and stepped foot in this church, we had church hopped all over Coeur d'Alene and the surrounding area. And just when we set foot in this church, we just felt welcome. We felt that the presence of God was here. And, you know, this is kind of where we want to be. You know, this is where God has me for the time being. I know growing up, the Pentecostal Church of God and Assemblies of God, they're kind of the same thing, but they kind of butt heads. And I know one's a break off of the other, but that doesn't matter to me as long as it's a Bible-based church and you have an ear for the Holy Spirit and you're willing to let him move. Amen. So again, thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to be a part of this church and be a part of that group and all those men that are a part of that group. It's so awesome to just listen to them. I think I'm the youngest one in that group. I'm 36. So I'm all the time just soaking up wisdom like a sponge and listening to, you know, there are different perspectives on the topics that we are discussing. And so it's just an honor again to be here. But before we get in the word, is a little bit, I share a little bit about who I am and my family. Is that okay this morning? You guys get to know me. So like I said, my name is Jacob Wallace. I go by Jake. I was born in Lancaster, California. I was raised in a very small farming community by the name of Wasco. Wasco, California. Anybody ever heard of Wasco before? Oh, that's a surprise. All right. I usually say Bakersfield because no one knows where Wasco is. So I grew up there. I'm 36 years old. My wife, Jessica, we've been together since we were 15. So we're going on 22 years together. And this December will be 14 years married. We have two kids. My oldest is Owen James Wallace. He'll be 12 in December. And my youngest is Paisley Mae Wallace. She just turned 10 in June. I served 6 years active duty United States Army. I did 12 months, it seemed like 12 years, 12 months in Afghanistan. And, you know, I was blessed to be raised in church because if I didn't have that spiritual foundation, my life would have crumbled a long time ago. You know, sometimes God allows you to hit rock bottom to realize that he is the rock at the bottom. And, you know, I had to experience that because growing up in church, I knew who God was. I knew what Jesus had done for me. I knew where I was supposed to be, how I was supposed to act. But when I hit the military, it took a dark turn because mom and dad weren't around. I was on my own, and it was just me and God. And so the beginning of my military career, I really held on to God because it was just me and him. But as I began to get comfortable in that environment, I began to get sucked into the environment. You know, the foul language, the drinking every weekend, playing softball, just doing everything that I was taught not to do. And I began to see after Afghanistan, I didn't think I had anything wrong with me. But we lived right across the street from a parking lot because we were stationed in Germany. And they would have what they call the Volksfestival every year. And it started with fireworks and it ended with fireworks. And so I happened to show up as the festival was already going. So I had been home for a couple days. I was just sitting there playing Xbox, playing Call of Duty. And all of a sudden I hear this big boom, fireworks go off. And I hit the floor and I just freeze. This overwhelmed with anxiety. There was nothing I could do. I knew it was fireworks, but it just had so much control over my life. And so we go on. I get better with the loud noises, and we move to Colorado. And I kind of shared this a little bit a few weeks ago, but I was dealing with paranoia really bad. I just thought somebody was after my family. I was living in fear. And I was locking the doors. All the windows had screens. There were baby gates going up to our bedroom, but I was just still so afraid. So I would take our babies and I would put them in bed with us, and I would lock the door and sleep with a loaded shotgun in my lap. I was holding a shotgun like this in bed, and I just couldn't get over it. I don't know why. And then so finally I was just like, God, I know this isn't of you. You haven't given me a spirit of fear. So I give it to you. I'm done. 11 o'clock at night. And I just felt peace of God just come over me and is gone. And I've been sleeping like a baby ever since. And it was an experience that I had to go through to realize that, like, I had pretty much turned away from everything that I grew up knowing. And so I said after that, God, you know what? I'm yours from this day forward, whatever you want me to do. And so my family had moved back to California. I was getting out. I was going through my last 30 days of processing and driving home from Colorado to California. Had 17 and a half hours, just me and myself in the car. And a song came on the radio, and God just worked me over. And I said, all right, God, I'm yours. I think it was Casting Crowns, Who Am I? And so it just really spoke to me. And I said, okay, God, whatever you want me to do. Which brings me to coming back to my home church. Well, let me back up a little bit. I went a little too far with my military history here. So when I was 8 years old, there was a traveling evangelist who would come to our church by the name of Sister Shirley Jones. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of her before. She's an Australian lady. She's a little firecracker. But anyways, she prayed with me, prayed for me at this revival, and I received baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongue at 8 years old. And she told me, she says, you're anointed. You're anointed for leadership. God's going to use you in leadership. And so it's 8 years old. I didn't know what that meant. So I went on with my life just doing what kids do, causing chaos. And so moving forward, I was about 15 years old, and we used to go to church camp every year. And we had a good, awesome altar service, and I was just kneeling next to the altar, just kind of thinking what God had told me. And my youth director at the time, they called them PYPA presidents there then, and he goes, what's going on, bud? And I said, God told me I'm going to have your job someday. And again, 15 years old, I didn't think anything of it. And so I went about my business. And, you know, a few years later, my uncle, who was the associate pastor of my church, decided to go and take over a church that was closing their doors. And so, well, you know, when your family goes, your family goes. So I was forced to leave my church that I was comfortable in and go and serve under my uncle, where he saw that God had a plan in my life, and he opened up the pulpit. So from the age of 18 to 21, God used me to speak one Wednesday a month for as long as I was there. And man, I was terrible. I was a terrible preacher. Sometimes I think I am still, but, God's word is God's word, so it doesn't matter what voice box it comes out of. Amen. So now we're back to, after 6 years in the military, I get back to my home church, not my uncle's church. I go to my home church, and I start serving as on the youth staff there, just getting involved, just trying to get my feet back underneath me, get back closer to God, and just kind of get my feelers out there what God has for me. And our pastor, our lead pastor of 30-plus years, he ends up passing away. And so we get a new pastor in, and he's coming in for his 2-year interim to see if we want to keep him around. During that time, the youth leader takes the youth director's position, which there's no youth pastor position. Here I am coming raw out of the army, just basically rededicated my life to God, saying, you can use me. After everything that I've done, you know, I'm still wet behind the ears, and they ask us if we want to be youth pastors. There was no way that I was ready to be in ministry, but I knew I needed to say yes to God. And that's one thing I could never do, was say no to God. And so I said yes, and we became youth pastors. And boy, did I learn a lot from my mistakes, learn a lot about young people, learn a lot about parents. And God used us there for 7 years. And during our last couple years, a friend of mine was the district youth director. That's a mouthful to say. I'm just saying DYD. He was the DYD. He got offered a job as a lead pastor in a church in Indiana. And he goes, hey, Jake, positions open up for youth director. I think you should apply. Here I am again thinking that I'm not qualified, that I'm not ready to do this. So I apply and they accept me. And so here I am, youth pastor and district youth director at the same time, right smack dab in the middle of COVID. I'm like, okay, my primary job is to gather young people together to teach them about God in a fun, unique way, to have fun, host a summer camp and a winter camp, but we can't do any of that. And so that was a challenge in and of itself. But God continued to guide me and my wife for the 3 years. And over some prayer and just awesome circumstances, you know, some friends of ours, the Stars, Keith and Marcy, they own Black Rock Ranch in Harrison. You know, we visited them during the summer last year, and they're like, you guys should come up here. I didn't think about moving to Idaho. My wife's sisters lived here for about 5 years, and we came and visited a couple Thanksgivings ago, and I was like, I love it here. It's mountains. Like, I love the mountains, you know. I grew up, our family in California had a cabin in Sugarloaf, and so we would go and spend weekends or weeks in the summer in our cabin, so mountain people. But they ended up purchasing the Lakeview Lodge and had a job opportunity for us. And this is where I really learned how to distinguish the difference between what I want and what God has for me. So through prayer and fasting and seeking wisdom. So those three things, you know, you seek God's word, you have prayer, and you have fasting, and then you seek wisdom from others. So I talked to my pastor. We had prayed, we had fast, we had talked to other people. And we said, you know, this is the opportunity that we have before us. We can stay and be comfortable, I don't know how long, because, you know, a young guy doesn't stay young forever to be in a young man's position. And so I probably had maybe 4 more years in that position before I would like, okay, what's next? Or do I take a leap of faith and move to a state that has the values and beliefs that I want to raise my kids in? And so I heard God say, if you leave, I'm with you. If you stay, I'm with you. I said, all right, God, I'm out of here. So we sold our stuff. We sold our house. We packed our stuff, and we got up here. And I just want to, you know, just a caveat on that. If you ever feel like you need to be ready to do anything for the Lord, I'll tell you right now, you'll never do anything for the Lord, because you'll never be ready. You just have to be willing to say yes, God, and allow him to guide you on the way. Amen? That was a freebie. All right, so we're going to get into the word. I'm a little bit different, probably as you could tell already by most preachers. I'm a little bit raw. I don't sugarcoat anything. I just share God's word, and I use the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid. I like to really break it down. This is how God speaks to me. So I hope that it resonates with you. This morning, I'd like to talk to you about hearing God's voice. And that's the title of my message this morning, if you're taking notes, is hearing God's voice. And I'm going to do that by comparing that. Do we have any elk hunters in here? Anybody hunt elk? We're going to do that by talking about elk hunting a little bit. Where I'm from, there's not a whole lot of elk. You got to travel way up north. So I've never elk hunted before. So I started doing research because the season was coming, and I was in a scramble to get my hunting license because I hadn't been here quite 6 months yet to be a resident so that I get my license and get my tag. And thank God all that stuff worked out. So I was in a scramble trying to figure out, what am I going to do? How do I elk hunt? What do I, you know, it's completely different than the mule deer in California. Guys just drive on the road. Oh, there's a deer. Jump out. Shoot it with your bow. They don't do that around here. There's too much green, too much brush. But before I get into that, I want to lay some spiritual foundation. So if you would turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 through 21. And I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. Because I'm simple-minded, and that reads best to me. I was in the military, okay, at third grade reading level. All right. If you're there, I'm ready. Meanwhile, the boy, Samuel, served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly, the Lord called out, "Samuel." "Yes," Samuel replied. "What is it?" He got up and ran to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I did not call you," Eli replied. "Go back to bed." So he did. Then the Lord called out again, "Samuel." And again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I did not call you, my son," Eli said. "Go back to bed." Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So that's key. Remember that in verse 7. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, "Go lie down again. If someone calls again, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went back to bed, and the Lord came and called before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel replied, "Speak, your servant is listening." So obviously we know that Samuel didn't know God's voice because it says in verse 7 that he had never heard from God before. He had never been given a message from God before. You know, I believe that God can still speak to us in an audible voice today, but there's something that we have now that he didn't have, that he only had portions of, and that is the Bible, the Word of God. And because we have his word, and if we read his word, then we know when God speaks to us, right? So just a quick story of how God revealed this to me. It was one day I got home from work. My family was out doing whatever it was they were doing, gymnastics or something. I don't know. They were gone. It was daylight. I was home pretty early. So I went to my office, which was my garage. It had my computer in there and everything. And so I was hanging out in there, and I had to go get something in the house. So I walked through the garage into the house. I didn't turn a light on because the sun was still out. I could see where I was going. I got what I needed, went back to the garage. A couple hours later, I had to utilize the restroom. So I went through in the house, through all the way to the back of the house where our bedroom was, where our bathroom was. But I didn't turn a light on, and it was dark then. So I navigated my house completely in the dark. And I was happy. On my way back, I was like, man, I didn't stub my toe and cuss or nothing. I made it all the way through the house. And that's when God spoke to me. He said, "I want you to know my word like you know your house in the dark." And I said, I got back to my chair and I just began to think about it. I said, man, that is so awesome that I need to know God's word like I know my house in the dark, so that when the darkness of life comes, I won't be lost. I won't stub my toe. I won't hurt myself trying to find my way because I know it. I know it. How many of you have ever walked through your house in the dark? The power's gone out and you got to get there through the flash. So you know what I'm talking about. So when it comes to knowing God's word, we need to study God's word and know it like we know our house in the dark. Amen? We know, by knowing God's word, like we know our house in the dark, it says in Psalms 119, 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light to my path." So by knowing God's word, when we are faced with difficult circumstances, whether we hear something on the news or the radio, whatever it is, we know God's word is above everything else. When you feel like you don't know what to do, we can go to God's word, and that's hearing God's voice. It's through his word. Amen? All right, now comes the fun part. You bear with me as I try and make a comparison. that I've learned while studying elk that I believe runs parallel in my mind to knowing God's voice. So I've been researching some elk hunting. I'm an archery hunter myself. I also have a rifle. But one thing remains consistent is with elk hunting, bow or rifle, is they're not just going to wander right in front of you unless you're driving 55 on the highway. I kid you not. The day after bow season for elk was over, I was coming home from my son's football game, 9:30 at night or something like that. Big old six-point bull with four cows come right across the street. I rolled down the window, huh, babe? I yelled at him. I said, "Where were you yesterday?" It's like, man. Anyways. So what you have to do is you have to learn to call them over. And hunters and scientists have studied these animals and learned that certain calls and certain bugles that they make mean different things. And so this morning I brought a few calls with me, and I will do my best to mimic them. Like I said, I'm new to elk hunting, but I promise you, you'll get the picture at the end.
Pretty loud. All right, the first call is just a location bugle. And what this is saying is saying, hey, is there anybody else out there? All right, I'm going to see if I can. I'm going to do it this way so I don't blow your eardrums out. All right, any hunters out there? How that sound? All right, good. So,
I didn't get shot.
So, it took a lot of time for me to study what these animals sounded like so that I could mimic the real thing, because that's what we're trying to do, is get those animals to think, hey, I'm over here, come check it out, right? So the second call, that once you figure out where this bull elk is at, you want to try and draw them in closer so you can take a shot. And the second call is a cow call. And I think I've gotten okay at this one, but we'll see. I got a little dry mouth over here. Nope. So that call
is just saying, "Hey, baby, I'm over here. I'm looking for a boyfriend," and then we go forward. You know, if that doesn't draw him in, then what we want to do is we want to get emotion out of this animal. We want him to just lose his mind and come looking for him, because these animals are very territorial, and they have their spots, and then they have their girls with them. They have their harem with them, which isn't biblical, by the way, but it's kind of like a bugle call, but it's just a little more aggressive. I don't know if I can do it with this one, but I'm going to try. It's either a bugle that's really loud with emotion behind it, then there's some chuckling and grunting that goes along with it. So I'm gonna try.
Something like that. If you have these in a bugle tube, you can do it a little bit better.
You didn't think you guys were getting a hunter's education course when you came to church this morning, did you? So the thing is these calls, we've learned how to mimic these animals to get them to come in closer. We have to study, because as you saw with that last one, I haven't practiced that very much. It sounded terrible. It sounded like an elk that was dying or a goose or something. But these things are designed to draw those animals in. God's designed his word to draw us in. In James chapter 4, it says, "Come close to God and he will come close to you." There are times that when you make your location bugle and you're like, "Hey, is anybody out here?" They make that call back. Then it's your job as a hunter to move closer. Then when you get in closer, you make that cow call. You make that cow call, then that elk comes in a little bit closer. But sometimes there are times where the animal's just not going to move. And so you got to do something to get him to come closer, whether that's an aggressive bugle or you got to start raking trees to get that reaction to come closer. Sometimes we call out to God and we hear his voice and then we get closer to God and then we hear his voice and then we get closer to God and then all of a sudden it's quiet for a while because God's waiting to see if you really want him the way you want him. He's going to sit back and listen, and you got to reach in and you got to pour your heart and soul. You got to pour into that emotion like, God, I really need to hear from you. Or is it just going to be like a, hey, God, I love you on Sundays. And the key word is to study. Just as we study these animals and their habitats and their behaviors and their movement patterns, we need to study God's word so that we know his voice, what the way he wants us to think, the way he thinks. You know, these calls are to mimic these elk. We are to mimic Christ because that's what being a Christian is to be Christ-like. But we also need to be careful because there are some calls that are out there in this world that sound good. You know, if you're an average hunter and you're out there bugling, you may be getting closer to another hunter because you can't tell the difference. And you might end up getting yourself shot if you're not careful. In the same way in our life, we'll be moving towards a direction, towards something that's calling us, whether it be a new job or an opinion from a news station or a songwriter, and we'll begin to draw close to that, and it'll build up this emotion in us, and we're going to react to that. But what we don't realize is there's danger on the other end of that, and the enemy will use that. Because what looks like a good new job will take you away from your family and your church. Yes, you'll be making a lot of money, but you'll never be spending any time with your family, therefore creating dysfunction in your family, and then it begins to fall apart. Everything that sounds good doesn't necessarily mean it is good. And it's up to us to know the difference between the call of the enemy, the call of the world, and God's call. Amen? All right, so in closing with this, the worship team can come back up. It's pretty quick. How am I on time, Pastor? We going to beat the Baptist to the buffet? Hearing God's voice, there was a time in my life where I had two surgeries on my knees when I was in the military. And I had just started getting back in shape. I worked for a company, and you know, they had a gym there, and I was getting in shape, and some guys from our church, he's a big fitness guy, and they wanted to do a Spartan race. Anybody ever heard of a Spartan race? It's basically a four-mile race with obstacles. It's a challenge. And so I've been practicing. I've been doing rope climb. I've been doing pull-ups. I've been doing burpees. They even do this thing where you throw a spear. And so we've been practicing throwing spears. And so I worked myself up for this moment. I thought I was in shape. I thought I was ready to go. We get there. It's December 9th, so it's cold. It's in Castaic Lake. Does anybody know where Castaic Lake is? Southern California. So getting ready to do this race. Before I get to this race, there are barriers to get to the starting line. I was like, what is this? I got to do an obstacle before I even start the race? And so as I swung my leg over the first barrier, my knee locked up. Just done. So much pain, excruciating. And I sat there like this on the fence. And my wife looks at me and she goes, are you okay? I said, I don't know. My knee just locked up and it won't loosen up. And so there's one more barrier. Climbed over it. And I was thinking at this moment I was going to give up and get out. And I was like, I paid money to do this. I paid money to torture myself. I've worked very hard to get to this point so I can complete this race. But God told me, he said, You didn't come this far to only come this far. And so hearing God's voice encouraged me to push through the race. And the first quarter mile or a mile or so I went through, it loosened up and I was able to finish. I was sore afterwards, but it was God encouraging me that no matter what's going on, when the bills pile up, when the medical reports come in, when you've got family members that don't believe in God or they've walked away from their relationship, don't give up, because God is telling you this morning you didn't come this far to only come this far. It could be so easy to listen to the call of the enemy and think that it's over, that you've been defeated, that there's nothing else that you can possibly do. But we just have to listen to God's word. There's not very many people in the Bible that gave up. There were people who wanted to, but guess what happened? The Lord came and refreshed them, encouraged them, and gave them energy to keep on going. Because we allowed ourselves, we posture ourselves to hear God's voice. As we get to know God's word like we know our house in the dark, his word will guide us through every situation. His word doesn't tell us to go through this journey, read the Bible, and everything's going to be better. He's instructed us to lean on our brothers and sisters, that we are to carry each other's burdens. Because the Bible says that prayer of a righteous person has power as it is working. So this morning, I hope this silly example of how elk react to man-made elk calls is a reminder that there are a lot of voices out there and things that are calling for our attention. And to know the difference between the enemy's call and God's call. By understanding these elk sounds and that we mimic them, we are to mimic God's word, to be Christ-like, to be Christian. So this morning, let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. And you know, the Bible is full of symbolism. When we look at baptism, a water baptism, it's symbolic to the old you is dead and the new is risen with Christ. And what I always like to do is when we have an altar call, that symbolizes that I'm leaving that person I was when I walked in this door in that chair, and I'm coming up to the front to receive what God has for me this morning. I set pride aside. I set what people think of me aside. And I truly, honestly believe that God has spoken to me this morning, and I'm ready to hear God's voice. There may be some of us here this morning that have never heard God's voice, like Samuel. Samuel was working for the man of God, Eli, and he had never heard God's voice before. But this morning, after this message, I hope that God is speaking to you this morning, that he's saying, I'm ready for you to take the next step. I hear your call. I'm waiting for you at the altar. I'm waiting for you. Now just draw close to me and I'll draw close to you. Maybe there's some of you here this morning that hasn't heard God's voice in a while. Maybe you've called out to him and you haven't heard anything, but maybe he's just beyond the brush, waiting for you to go a little deeper, to push a little more, to push a little longer, to not forget about that prayer that you said a few months ago. There's healing that needs to take place. There's family members that need to come to know the Lord. We can fill in the blanks all morning long. But if that's you this morning, if you want to hear from God the first time, or if you haven't heard from God in a while and you want to hear from him at this morning, come to the front and begin to call out with your voice. Say, here I am, God. Here I am. And just listen for his call back to you. There's nothing special about it, whether we raise our hands or we're... Whatever we do with our body doesn't matter. It's our heart, how we posture our heart to receive from God. And so this morning, we come to the front and say, God, I'm ready to hear from you. What should you have me do? So if that's you this morning, go ahead and make your way out of your seat.